Good morning. We really need the Lord's help this morning. I feel like that a lot of what I have this morning was already expressed in Sunday school. And I asked the Lord what to do, and I feel like that this is what the Lord wants me to give. So I'd like to go to Luke, the 10th chapter. And I would appreciate your prayers this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Very familiar story. Now it came to pass as they went, talking about Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha." Anytime somebody says your name twice, it's not usually something that's just a real positive, or, you know, when somebody says your name twice, you know that they're about to chide you or something like that. That's how it's been with me anyway. And he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, when it said that Martha was cumbered about much serving, I think there are some things that we can commend Martha for. This was taking care of the Lord. How would you, what would you do if Jesus came to your house? If he came and he was going to stay there a while, possibly stay the night, possibly stay several days, wouldn't you want him to have the nicest bed in the house, and you'd want him to have some good things to eat and a good comfortable chair? I think I might be thinking, man, I don't know. I might need to go buy some new furniture because this chair is so old, and go buy a new rug to put on the floor, and think the humidity's a little too high in here, and just all kinds of things that I would want to do, because this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. And I believe they believed in him. They knew he was the Son of God. And Martha, it said that she was cumbered. That word cumbered in the Greek, it means to drag all around. That wherever you go, you've got a burden that you're just carrying with you. It's something that you can't put down. It's something that, it cumbers you. It's something that hinders you. It's something that keeps you from doing other things. It's something that weighs you down. And it says that it didn't just say Martha was busy serving. That would have been maybe a lighter way to put it, or a way that didn't implicate her in any way, but it said that she was cumbered with it. She was weighted down with it. It was something that it got in the way of some things that Mary wasn't cumbered with. You know, I don't think Mary was a selfish person. I don't think that she was somebody that didn't care about what Martha was doing, didn't care about the Lord, didn't care that Martha had all the work. But Mary recognized something. Jesus said she's chosen that good part. Martha had things to do. But Jesus, it seems like serving Jesus would be pretty high priority to me. But in serving Jesus, Martha took it to a level where there were some things that she discarded, or she had to trade in order to serve the Lord, in order to do what she thought was serving the Lord. And there's a lesson in that. And Jesus said, there are many things that you're careful and troubled about. You're worried about this and you're worried about that. And there are things that we need to be careful and we need to be watchful. We need to be diligent. We need to make sure that that our earthly things are set in order. But I think what Jesus was bringing out here was that you're doing those and you're putting the care and the trouble into them, but it's at the expense of the one thing that's the most needful. Everything else pales in comparison to the one thing that's needful. And Mary's kept that. She's chosen it. It can't be taken away from her. It can't be taken away from you either if you choose it. You can have the one thing that's needful. It's not that nothing else is needful, but there's something else that's needful above everything else. We can't trade it in. If we trade it in, then everything else is really irrelevant in life. And that one thing that's needful is to be able to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear what He has to say. That's what's needful. And there are other things that are needful. And I think of another time that Jesus talked to a guy and he said, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus, as he always did in everything, he went to the heart of the matter. He went to what was the most important. And he could do that, you see. We can't always do that. If somebody comes to me and says, you know, I wish you'd help me out. There's a guy that's cheating me. I couldn't look at him and say, take heed and beware of covetousness. Most of the time, I couldn't do that. And the reason is because I can't see what Jesus can see. I can't see down in people's hearts. I can't see the motives behind what they're doing. I couldn't even look at Martha and say, Martha, you are too worried. You're too troubled. You've neglected the thing that's the most important. I couldn't do that. But Jesus could. Because he could see down inside of our heart. Now, I believe there is such a thing as discernment, but I don't think the Lord always gives it in those situations. There are many times that the very best that we can do to help other people is to present the light and the truth and the love of the gospel and let God worry about how it applies to their heart. But Jesus could do it in a different way. So the man came to him and said, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus went to the heart of it. He said, he wasn't trying to say that an inheritance was worthless, that you couldn't do anything with it, that it didn't matter to be fair, that it wasn't an issue if he got cheated out of everything. He didn't say that. He didn't mean that. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. In other words, what profit is it if you get everything right and fair? If you're able to accomplish your goal and you get everything that's coming to you and you get all your ducks in a row and you get it all right, but yet you have covetousness that sprung up in your heart as a result of it. What good is it? What profit is it? That's what he was telling Martha. Martha, it's not that the milk and the honey and the whatever, the snacks and the fruit and all of that and the soft bed, it's not that that doesn't matter. But there's something that matters more. So when Martha was careful and troubled, he was telling her, you know what, you have let this get to you where it's displaced the one thing that should not ever be displaced. And that is, closest, the relationship with God. Think of a song that we have in our book. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear Him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past. For His love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from His fullness gather grace and comfort every day. We have a lot of things in life that are real and we've got to deal with them. We have business that we have to transact. We have people we need to deal with. We have cares and responsibilities. We have to take care of our children. We have to take care of those around us. It's not just our children. We have people that we're responsible for in some way or another. Sometimes it's grandchildren. Sometimes it's parents. Sometimes it's neighbors. We have business we need to do. And all that's important. It has an importance to it. But there's something that's more important. If we go around and we're able, let's just say we're able to do it all, when we can do all of the things and we can take it and we have an iron constitution and we can get up early and we can go to bed late and we can just not quit, but yet we're a cauldron of impatience and worry and care and fretting and we don't have peace. And we have feelings against this person because they didn't help us. And we've got feelings against this person because they didn't go along with us in what we wanted to do. And we've got feelings. You know, Martha didn't have feelings against somebody. She didn't even have feelings against somebody that was wicked. It was against somebody that had chosen. You know, I don't know why Mary did what she did. Maybe Mary started off helping Martha. Maybe she had said, you know, I think maybe Mary had said, you know, we ought to do this and this and this. And maybe they got some stuff done before Jesus came. And then when Jesus got there, Mary said, you know, maybe Mary said to Martha, let's sit and hear what he has to say. And maybe Martha, I'm just speculating, but maybe Martha said, listen, we're not even close to being as ready as I want to be. We don't have all this together. We've got to do this and this and this and this. And maybe Mary said, but Martha, I think Jesus will be okay with what we've done. Let's see what he has to say. Let's spend some time with him. Let's visit with him. I don't know. But sometimes I feel like that we get up and we rush around and we do. Do you know that prayer devotions are so important? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. We had the scripture this morning already, and I hadn't written it down, but I'm very thankful that it was read, because I hadn't thought of it. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. He gives sleep to his beloved. And I love the thought that sleep is something, you know, Jesus, God could have designed it where we got a refreshing and renewal kind of on the fly, like those fighter jets when they're flying, they get refueled in the air. We don't get refueled in the air. We don't get refueled on the fly. We get refueled in a physical way. We get refueled by laying down and not just not doing anything, but we become unconscious. We don't know what's happening. We can't hear anything. We can't comprehend anything. We can't plan anything. We can't do anything. And we're there. We're not even vertical. We're horizontal most of the time. For 7, 8 hours. And the Lord designed it that way. Well, that's what God planned. That's the way you're going to get your rest. You know the world. You know what the world record is for somebody not sleeping at all? It's 11 days. 11 days. If you go for... So I would say pretty confidently that if you want to live a long life, if you decide that you're going to live and you're not going to get sleep, a week and a half is all you've got left on this earth. You're not going to live past that. So God designed us to be able to rest. And God designed us to be able to rest spiritually. And He designed us to be able to get our renewal from Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus. There I love to weep and pray. I know things are important. I know that we have to do business and all of that. But how many times do we get involved in all of the cares and things in the day, and the thing that kind of gets stolen from is our time of getting alone with the Lord and praying for His grace and begging Him for His love today and asking Him to give me peace and bringing our cares to Him and saying, Lord, here they are. I don't know what to do with it. And I still have them and I still have to deal with them. But Lord, I'm going to let You bear the brunt of them. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm going to leave them. That doesn't mean that we're going to neglect them. It doesn't mean that we're not going to do anything else about it. We have ongoing things that we have to deal with. But listen. Listen to. Let's see here. Luke 8:14. Luke 8:14. Another very familiar story. Four different types of seed. Or not seed, four different types of ground. This is the parable of the sower. And we know that the seed, those are the things that Jesus wants to plant in our hearts. Those are the thing, the good things, the experiences, the learning, the knowledge. And there are four different types of ground that the Lord identifies. In the 14th verse, He said, "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth." Now remember what He had said. In the parable, He said, some of the seed fell, and it was some pretty good ground, but it had a bunch of thorns in it. And the thorns sprang up and overcrowded the good plants and choked them out. And there wasn't anything left of the good. It was all just thorns after a while. Some pretty good soil, but a lot of thorns in it. Things that shouldn't have been there. So Jesus said, "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Jesus gave another, He said something else. I'll pull it up here. I didn't have it written down, but it's in Luke 21. And He said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness." And you know, it's easy to understand the concept here. Surfeiting and drunkenness, getting rich, putting all your care and trying to, putting all your energy and trying to become wealthy and pleasures, giving yourself, you know, all of that's real easy to understand. It's easy to understand that that would kind of be a departure from the Lord's will. But then He puts one other element in here. Cares. And cares of this life. We all have cares of this life. We can't get away from them. And you know, we can't really get away from all the other either. The Lord provides and He makes us prosper, some more than others. And He wants us to enjoy our lives, and He doesn't want us to be so stuck up tight that we can't have any fun and all of that. I believe that if we try to raise children that way, we're not allowing to play any games and all of that stuff. I believe that people get a very warped view of God and religion. But I believe that the Lord gave us, to a certain extent, He let us have some prosperity, and He let us do some some things that are extras. They're not necessary, but they're extras. They're enjoyable. And he also gave us some cares. And he said, take heed that your hearts be not overcharged with any of those things. He said, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, what does he mean by cares? Because we have them. And we know that the Lord doesn't send anything to us that we can't deal with. He doesn't send anything that if we follow in His will, that will choke us or hurt us. We talked about this Sunday before last. It's things that we take upon ourselves that's outside of the Lord's will. It's when we try to shoulder everything ourselves. While back, I felt like the Lord put His finger on an area in my life, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. And He said, you really need to be more patient. You need to get this. And I knew it. And the next few days I was asking the Lord, Lord, give me more patience. Help me to be more patient. And I set some goals. And I said, I'm going to be patient. And then I started trying to get all this stuff done. And I said, I'm going to get this much done. And I'm going to do all this. And you know what happened? I started getting impatient. And at the end of the day, I said, Lord, I tried to be patient. And maybe I did better than I used to do. But I was still more impatient than I should have been. And the Lord started talking to me, and He said, you took on too much. I didn't want you to do all that. I didn't want, you set this goal basically at all costs. You were going to get this done. And then things came and got in your way. But you still had the goal of getting this done, so you're rushing around and you're going to get it done. But it didn't get done. There's more important things in life than hitting the goals we set. We want to do things, but sometimes, and I felt like the Lord said, look, this is what's important. This is the good thing. This is the important thing. I want you to sit at my feet. I want you to have my peace. I want you to learn of me. What that means is that sometimes we have to dump some things that we think are important that we have to do. You know, I really think that probably the answer for Martha that day was for her to lay some things down and say, you know what? We're not going to worry about this. And we're not going to do this. But it's the Lord. It's the Lord. We need to give our very best to the Lord. Do you know that the Lord's idea of giving our best to Him and our idea of giving our best to Him is not always the same? Sometimes we feel like we have to get all our ducks in a row over here, and we've got to present this, and we've got to give this and do this. And what the Lord really wants is for us to work on this area over here in our heart and maybe let some of this over here slide. But a lot of times we get it backwards and we make sure that all the stuff is done and we let some things in the heart slide. And that's backwards from what the Lord wants. There's other things that, you know, I think about Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Every time that we get to where we feel like we're overcharged with cares and things, I believe that we would find that we're a little bit farther away from sitting at Jesus' feet than we ought to be. For whatever reason or another, I think about Jesus. He told the Pharisees, You bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne on men. And we can, if we can get to where we're trying to please people, whether it's our family or trying to live to some standard that some commandment of men or whatever. People do this in religion all the time. When really they need to go back to the rock. They need to go back to Jesus Christ and say, no, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Do you know there's abundant grace to do the Lord's will? There's always grace to do the Lord's will. There's always power to do, to follow the Lord's path. When we get to where we are overcharged and the things, the cares overwhelm us, we've got to step back and say, okay, one of two things that is happening. Either I need to lay some things down because they're not as important, or I need to learn, or maybe I can't lay anything down. I need to learn how to cast my cares on the Lord better. We read the scripture that talks about casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But the last part of this verse in Luke 8 and 14, it says that they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now I'd like to go to John 15. John 15 and... No, wait a minute. I want to read one more verse. In Luke 8 and 15. We can't go without reading that. So Luke 8 and 14 again. It said, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that," in verse 15, "but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And that word patience, it means with perseverance. What this means is that they bring forth fruit and they keep bringing it and they keep bringing it. And the fruit just keeps coming and coming and coming. That's what this is talking about. In another place it says that they bring forth fruit, some 60, 30, some 60, some 100-fold, where you're able to bless everybody around you. You're able to influence those around you. You're able to show people the way. You know that we can get everything right in an external sense, but not show people the way. Not where people look at, oh, well, let's do this and this and this. But we're boiling inside. We've got all this stuff that the Lord wants us to get rid of. John 15 and 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." There it is again. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." You know, I think about the Ephesians. Paul started writing to the Ephesians. We'll catch some of that, and maybe we'll talk about what they were in John's time when he wrote the book of Revelation. This is the key. Jesus said one thing is needful. You know what that one thing is? Abiding in Jesus. That's what's needful. Everything else is, there's some need. There are some things that we need to do. But we can't stop abiding in Jesus. We've got to be able to keep that lifeline. We've got to be able to keep peace and be able to thrust our cares, cast them on the Lord. We've got to be able to get rid of them like that. We've got to be able to keep our peace inside. We've got to be able to keep our connection with the vine. If we do, we'll bring forth much fruit. But if we don't, we don't bring any fruit to perfection. The things will choke us and they'll weigh us down, and we'll become cynical and negative and bitter. And the Lord The Lord wants us to do the opposite. Just listen what the fruit of the Spirit is, and we won't turn there, but in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I look at what Paul said to the Ephesians. Let's just go to the Ephesians, the first chapter. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 15th verse, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It seems like to me that Paul held the saints at Ephesus in high regard. And he said, you love all the saints. And you're faithful. And in the third chapter, he said, for this cause, 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. These are the building blocks. This is the first. This is the root. We can get all the doctrines and the standards and all of that right. You know there's some importance to those things? I'd say some great importance. I'm very thankful for the heritage for things that people have passed down to me that a lot of the world doesn't know anything about. I'm thankful for that. But that's not the essence, and it's not the root of where our holiness and our spirituality and our identity in Christ is. Did you hear what he said? He said, being rooted and grounded in love. That's what I want for you, he said. And to know the love of Christ. To know the breadth and the depth, the length and height, be filled with all the fullness of God, to be able to understand, to be able to to bring forth fruit unto perfection. Those are my words, but I believe you could, that was his thought. I want you to bring forth fruit. But you've got to be rooted and grounded, not in things, not in doing everything right, not in taking care of all the cares of life. Even if it's in the name of Christ, you've got to have something inside. So let's go to Revelations, the second chapter, and the first verse. And unto the angel, or I think you could just say the minister or the pastor of the church of Ephesus, right? These things, this is some 40 years after, I believe, 35 to 40 years after that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? They've done all of this stuff. Ephesus was a wicked, wicked city. It was like a big mud hole. It was full of all kinds of abominations. And these people were standing strong right in the middle of it. In a place like that, there was lots to oppose. There were a lot of false ideas. Probably people that came and wanted to worship with them. Maybe they had false doctrine to bring in and all of that. All of that stuff has some importance. We want to oppose the wrong. We want to stand up for what's right. Sometimes silently, and sometimes the Lord will want us to say things. We want to work. We want to labor. All of those things are good. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. They said they haven't fainted. And it's good to hold it on and to be steadfast and say, I'm not giving up. But he said, I've got somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians? He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And in the first he said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all of the saints. I believe that they had a foundation. And that's what Jesus was saying. I've got something against you because some of the things that motivated you, that you were rooted and grounded in the past, it's not there anymore. You've become overcharged. Those things are catching up with, they're crowding in on you. And you've got this problem to deal with and this problem. And you're so busy opposing the wrong and you're so busy working and trying to make sure that everything's in order that you forgot where the essence of it all comes from. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. This doesn't mean that you're not saved and you need to get saved again. I think sometimes people have taken those words to mean that. But to my best understanding, what it means is do what you did at first. Do the things you did before. Have the same motivations you did before. Cultivate a love for God. Sit at Jesus' feet. Listen to what He has to say. Develop a love for the saints and God instead of just trying to stand for all the good stuff and oppose all the wrong and be a stalwart soldier. Those all things are all important, but if it doesn't start with the love of God and with love of people, it's not worth anything. He said, or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We had this thought in the Sunday school, but you know you cannot carry the weight of the kingdom of God on your shoulders. And sometimes we get to thinking, if I don't do this, and if I just got to do this and this and this, or else it's all going to go down, the church is going to go down. Listen, the church of God is not going down. Groups may rise and fall. People may walk away. But the foundation of God standeth sure. And as long as, if you get to where you feel like you can't bear the weight, if you get to where you feel like you have to carry the weight of everything, it's on you, and if you stumble, the whole thing's going down. You've got too much weight on you. The Lord wants you to get in a place where no matter what happens, you can still have rest and peace in your heart, and you can take your time, sit at the feet of Jesus, listen to what He has to say, have peace in your heart, no matter what kind of circumstances are going on, no matter what the church is doing, no matter what's happening in business, no matter what's happening in my family. I've got this place where I can go and sit at the feet of Jesus and cast my care upon Him. And I have abundant grace. The Lord gives abundant grace to do His will. He doesn't give grace to do everything outside of His will. It's just not there. And so we think, well, where was the grace of God for me? Well, maybe we were taking a little too much on. So, I'm almost finished. But Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are the building blocks. These are the fundaments of our salvation. The things that matter above all else. We cannot afford to get all of the things, all the ducks in a row, and afford to lose the building blocks, the things that make up everything that we do. People will suffer. If we don't bring forth the fruit, if we don't stay connected to the vine, then we're not going to be... You know what we're going to pass on to the next generation? If we just try to pass on a bunch of things, it's not going to really be worth anything. But if we can pass on, if the people that are coming after us and the people that are around us can look and say, you know what? He or she is full of the grace and the love of God. That's what's going to last. That's what's going to endure. That's what's going to speak louder than anything else. May the Lord help us. You pray for me.